Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Souls, the channel, Sports and Depth of the show, Larry Hardesty.
Welcome to Sports and Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. Now, I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Souls the channel, Sports in Depth is the show, and it's a special Thursday night. Jets are out in Denver, and a game that they must win. They have to win. They will win, or, well, could be over. And Sea Wings should be joining us shortly, and we have a host of other things real quickly to talk about. One thing is that NBA set, and Hoopster will be to let us know. Hoopster, you join us yet?
Yeah. Hey, good evening. Hey, Doc.
Hoopster, what's the latest on the NBA setup?
Well, on Tuesday, the 130th day of the lockout, Stern canceled two more weeks of games from December 1st to the 15th. You there, Doc?
It's Sea Wings.
Hey, Rooney.
Hey, Sea Wings. Welcome. Thanks for being on location for us.
No problem. Anytime, Charlie. Good
what
evening,
is
panel.
The situation now out there, Sea Wings? This is a football game. They have to win. They must win. They just got a big touchdown. Describe what happened down there.
Well, in the first half, as you can see, is the Jets and the Broncos both started off lethargic. Either side didn't really run away with the game. The Jets, the time of possession was close. The Jets, 15 minutes, 57 seconds. Broncos, 14:03. The Jets had 9 first downs versus the Broncos, 4. Mark Sanchez was 17 attempts, 14 completions for 104 yards. Tim Tebow was 7 attempts for 5 completions for 50 yards. And the score went back and forth. It was more like a tennis game. 3 love, up. But the second half, the Jets came out more aggressive. They went down they moved the ball aggressively and went for 8 plays, 80 yards, 4 minutes, 3 seconds, which resulted in a touchdown. It was a handoff by Sanchez to Powell, which he fumbled the ball in the end zone. It was recovered by number 68, Matt Slauson, for the touchdown, which leads us to the score of the Jets 10, the Broncos 3. The Jets just went 3 and out. They were deep in their end zone from the first yard line. They went 3 and out, kicked it off. Right now, Tebow is under pressure. He just threw an incomplete pass. They're moving the ball from our left to right. And if the Jets continue to play like they are, they need a long drive and a score, and they can seal the game right here and now.
Well, what's the score right now, Big C?
It's 10-3.
Okay, 10-3. How much time in the third quarter?
Third quarter with 5 minutes, 39 seconds left.
A lot of football left to go. One touchdown is really not a lot.
We really should be up 13-3.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like last week, Doc, when they played the New England Patriots. That first possession, they missed that field goal, and he went for a 60-yard field goal right before the half, which I didn't understand that one. You know, if he misses that 51, what makes you think he's going to make it at 60?
Well, you know, my thinking
was... Well, that's
the
coaching staff of the Jets. That's how great they are.
Well, my thinking
Rocket
was...
scientists.
My thinking was when he went for the 51, I said, this guy can't make a 23-yarder. What are they kicking 57 yards for?
Precious.
Better going for the 60-yarder today than he did going for the 23-yarder.
Yeah. Rooney is here with us along as Dusty. I mean, the thing here, if they were lucky that they got the ball right back after that play. And, you know, kind of because they would, with the field goal being missed, it put Denver in great shape. The injury report, we knew right away that when you got out there, C-Wings, that LT wasn't going to make the trip. He's out. And then now Sean Green. What's the story, Big C? Is Sean Green, is he back? Is he okay? What's the story, C-Wings?
Sean, it appears that Sean Green is not going to return due to an injury to his ribs. He was injured during that 4-yard pass play where he was hit by number 28, Quentin Carter of the Broncos. And he was questionable in the first half, and he's not going to return.
I thought it was his neck. Wasn't that a hit on his neck and his head bent to the side?
He took a shot from the back, but he actually injured his ribs the way that he fell.
Oh, I see.
If you look at the way that he was hit by number 28 from the Broncos.
Right,
he took a big hit, Carter.
Let's go to Rooney.
Was the way he fell.
Rooney, the way Green has been running all year, it basically is like, he hasn't been there all year. You haven't been happy with his performance at all, have you been, Rooney?
Well, he just doesn't look like the same guy, Doc. I don't know if it's injuries. Well, you know, those backs are always hurting one way or another. You know,
they take a brutal,
really tough position to play. But he hasn't really looked like the same guy, Doc. And now you know that he's officially injured. But I think he's probably had some type of nagging injury, Doc, that they haven't really highlighted that much
addressed
until now. Because those backs make an awful beating, as you well know.
Yeah.
Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Rainbow Soul of the channel, Sports and Depth of the show. It is a special Sports and Depth. We're coming live from Denver, where the Jets are playing the Denver Broncos. And a must win, and a big win here today. They will remain a game behind New England. We'll have to play this weekend, and they'll get a big 10-day swing. And then they'll be able to come back home with a very big, big game against the Buffalo Bills. Right now, the Jets are in control, so to speak, with a 7-point lead, and it's about the closing minutes of the third quarter. C-Wings, we want you to stay. Don't move. We've got to move back to the Hoopster. Hoopster, it doesn't look like they're going to play any basketball.
No, it doesn't look like it. Not at all. Now they're going to antitrust court lawsuits in Minnesota and Northern California.
Wow.
And also the players will not get paychecks neither. The players will not get paid.
Wow.
I understood that the average player in the NBA has lost something over, $200,000 thus far?
Oh,
more than that.
I believe
it. Remember, it's going up.
Doc, if I can interject, Sanchez just threw a pick. It was picked off by number 21, Andre Goodman. It was run back to a touchdown at this point, pending the extra point by Denver.
And then we'll talk. So we're talking about a 10-10 football game. In fact, if I'm correct, he threw two picks last week for touchdowns, didn't he?
Exactly.
So now,
whoever wins today will win ugly. And it looks like Denver has a psychological edge. Sanchez is not the same. I'm telling you, this guy's playing hopscotch. You know, C-Wings, it's funny. Last week we talked about go ahead with the Jets. This is just an afterthought. I mean, really, about Cam Newton. But, let's continue dissecting
Hold it, Dusty. Dusty, Rooney, Dusty can't get rid of Cam Newton today.
No, but because C-Wing asked me a very good question, and he got my square head thinking all week. I said, man, wait a minute. No, you want me to say it? Okay.
Let it flow, Dusty. Let it flow.
Okay. He asked me about Cam Newton and rookie potential.
Rookie year.
And I think I told you the midweek the other day. I said, Doc, I was thinking after C-Wing asked me that question, what would have been the chances of the Jets winning a soup if it had been Cam Newton instead of Mark Sanchez, who was drafted within that time. Would we have gone straight to the soup, won one of them, or won both? And this year, would we be on the third? We, I keep saying we. Jeez, I'm not a Jet fan. Would the Jets be on their way to a third soup? I don't know. I must confess, I don't know how many games the Panthers has won this season. I think it's 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
And the Colts are 0-10. So there's about 6 or 7 games left. Just think positively that if Cam Newton can rally the boys to win the next or some the rest of the games, they're in the playoffs. And here's a rookie bringing a scrub team into the playoffs. That's why I'm so high on Newton. And compared to Mark Sanchez, right now as a rookie, he's playing better than Mark Sanchez.
Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports and Depth of the show. It is a Thursday night Sports and Depth special live from Denver as Sea Wings is there. And the Jets, who were flying high, are now been taken down. It's a 10-10 football game against the Denver Broncos, a team that has been a much improved team, but a team that the Jets should beat, must beat, and better beat if they want this season to continue. We also have the Hoopster here, who's telling us that it doesn't look like there's going to be any basketball being played too much around this part. We're going to talk to Dutch in a little while, too. So a little some boxing things have come up, and one of them is really kind of amazing.
Biggie has come up, Doc.
Well, you know, in terms of basketball, Doc, I don't feel any compassion for the ball players. I mean, the one who's getting hurt and raped and beat up is a fan.
Doc, if I could interject.
Hold on.
Joe McKnight just fumbled the ball on the kickoff return. Broncos have the ball within the
red zone.
Within the 45-yard line.
And how much time in the third quarter?
Jesus.
How much time in the third quarter? 4 minutes, 15 seconds. Joe McKnight just fumbled the ball.
He just fumbled, and
the Broncos
have it.
Appears to be at the Jets' 40-yard line.
Your 40-yard line. Oh,
okay, Jesse,
good.
Hold
that's
on.
Great.
No. I'm back to Sea Wings. This is getting to look a lot like the game last week, Sea Wings. Falling apart, falling behind, and then out of the football game. As a quarter left, and, you know, Rooney, I'm going to come to you again because this is very funny, and somebody was talking yesterday on the Stephen A. Steve Smith show, and they said that, you know, Schottenheimer was a guy that's probably, you know, can be considered for a head coaching job. And somebody said, are you kidding me? I mean, the guy, is not doing that heck of a job as offensive coordinator, so now where does he come off with a head coaching job?
Wasn't that Steve Smith who said that?
It was...
Skip Bayless.
No. It was on the show, and your thoughts, Rooney. I mean, here's a guy that, you know,
Schottenheimer has never been. I just have to chuckle when you mention that name because, as you know, he's never been my favorite choice for coordinator or anything else, quite frankly. Might be a little nepotism there with the Schottenheimer name. But be that as it may, I haven't really been impressed with it's funny, Doc. I realize that they went to 2 championship games in 2 years, but I'm just not impressed with Schottenheimer's play calling. It's almost like in spite of him instead of because of him.
If you're going to have Sanchez turn the ball over anyway, why haven't the guy thrown short? You know, the one thing about the Jets is they just fail to stretch a defense, Doc. I mean, just what a hell of a can you send Plastico or somebody out deep and throw the bomb just to let them know that you might throw it? Can you
just
do
like
that
his father.
At least once or twice a game?
Right.
Just like his father.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like father, like son.
Yep.
Well, they say the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. And right now, the Jets are it's just amazing. You know, last week,
falling apart.
This time, they were getting ready to play this huge football game. They had the big Sunday week before. They won a big game. The Giants, in turn, did them a huge favor by beating New England in New England. New England came in with 2 straight losses. They were wobbly. They had lost their stagger. And there we were at halftime, almost with a football score. Jets coughed the ball up. Brady throws a touchdown. It's a 13-9 football game. and it was all over right there. I mean,
yep.
For all intents and purposes, that football game was all right. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports and Depth with the show. We're live. Sea Wings is calling in from Denver, and it is a football game that is starting to look like last week's game. It's getting away from the Jets, and it seems like that NBA basketball is going to be something that's going to get away from the fans. But, you know, Dusty, and we've been
yes.
with this before and go back and forth with it, you know, the fans really somebody said, Steve A. Smith said yesterday, he said something, too, that was really good. He said, you know what? He said, listen, all these owners, they had money before they bought these teams, and
absolutely.
They're going to have money after they leave these teams.
Absolutely.
But the thing we have to understand is that idea about the fan, that's out the window. The average fan can no longer go to anything anymore. And that's why home television is so good, because you know what? I don't have to go freeze sitting at the top of the stadium with a $200 ticket, and they look like little ants down there. I can stay home. I can watch the game. Because, I mean, look at that thing, C-Wing. I mean, it's $30,000 to buy a seat at MetLife, $30,000. I mean, you know, $30,000. I mean, there used to be a time you could buy a home for that. But it's just crazy. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul is down. Sports and Depth is the show.
Got some more info, Doc, also.
Go ahead, Hoopster.
Also, the players will not get paid also. They will not get a paycheck.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the poor guys. Now they have to go on the unemployment line.
Now they got to do commercials, basketball commercials, and McDonald's commercials.
Okay, gentlemen, back up. Now, Hoopster, question here. So have they got paid at all during this whole thing?
Nope. They not get paid. No paycheck. That's why some of these guys are doing commercials, like LeBron James doing McDonald's commercials.
Yeah.
Derrick Rose is doing his sneaker commercial. So they're doing commercials now.
Well,
and now Dwayne Wade said there might not be a season. He might go overseas and play.
Exactly.
Dwayne Wade.
Weren't some of these guys already signed up to do these commercials? Were making commercials?
You don't see a lot of them doing commercials now, being that it might not be a season.
But
before,
during the season, they were making those commercials either. So they'll make at least $30, $40 million out of those commercials. So they're not solid.
But listen for a moment, though, gentlemen. The fact remains that at the end of this year, no matter what they wind up getting, a lot of the guys, especially the guys making the huge money, like you said, the LeBron James, they are not going to, whatever they settle for, when they figure what they lost and will never get back, a lot of guys are not going to be very happy. That's the bottom line.
Well, you know, I'm not very happy because I'm not there making millions unemployed. That's their problem. That's why I have no feelings, no compassion for the freaking ball player. I resented something the other day. I don't know whether it was the union or one of the ball players said, well, this is like a slave mentality. If that's the case with all that money, Abraham Lincoln, bring back slavery because I'm in. Because that's ridiculous.
You know, it's funny you say that because I'm going to
talk about
an article. You know, until you're there, you don't know because I remember the great Bill Roden, one of only 22 columnists, African-American columnist, up from 100%. He wrote a book that, you know, detailed that, you know, all what you see is not what is. And his great book was $40 Million Slave. And, you know, I love it about Demney. She always says, you know, and it's what they talked about, too. I mean, a guy may sign a $40 million contract, but how much is that is guaranteed? And then how
back up.
How much is guaranteed? How much is taxed? How much does an agent get? Back? No, that means a lot. I mean, so what? I mean, 40,
Are you and I
Hold on, Dusty.
Okay, go ahead.
Dusty.
Calm down. Go
$40 million, okay, is not $40 million when the government slices half. Now you're down to 20.
I couldn't care less.
Okay? Boom. Now you got to pay your agent, okay? Boom. Okay? Then, you know, there's other. Listen, I could struggle over it. With $15-17 million, but what I'm trying to say, you know, a $40 million contract, Bobby Bonilla told me something too that I was amazed at. You know, he said when you make that kind of money, you know, I can't just give you $30,000, Dusty. I just can't give my mother $50,000. There's certain ways that money has to be distributed. So even though you have the money, you don't have the money. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network. Hold on, gentlemen. Everybody's being quiet now. Doc Stanley,
okay.
Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soda Channel. Sports and Depth is the show. Back to Sea Wings. What's happening in Denver, Sea Wings? because we might have lost in the
quarter. Right now, we still tied at 10-10.
10-10.
From the previous turnover by the fumble by Joe McKnight, the Denver Broncos went 3-and-out punt. The Jets got the ball. They went 3-and-out. Now we have the Broncos moving from our left to right from the 26-yard line. Since you brought that up about, the football, the Jets and how they're playing, we tend to overlook one of the greatest quarterbacks that ever played the game is Peyton Manning, which I think that if they go 0-16 and it looks like it's leaning towards that, they're probably going to trade Peyton Manning. And I'm thinking that the Jets should go after him vigorously.
Hold on. Let's back a bit. You're telling me that Peyton Manning is right now has fallen from the number one quarterback of his era to a guy that will be traded? I mean, wouldn't they keep him around to mentor the guy? Or okay, the other line is okay, let's get something for him. But you would think they would try to keep him around to mentor the new guy coming in, and then the rest of the league would say, well, wait a minute. If they want to give me Peyton Manning now, is this really Peyton Manning? C-Wings, you're telling me that there's really a possibility that – and you know what? You know what the Jets would do? They bring him here, and he'd be the backup quarterback to Sanchez.
But Doc, did I tell you
I think that will work. I think that will work. You have to look at it from the business standpoint. He'll probably won't play this year. I mean, I can't even see him taking a snap.
Absolutely.
Even in
he's not ready.
Maybe practice.
C-Wing. The injury to him is that bad that he can't even take a
neck
snap?
Neck surgery.
Nerve damage. You won't see him. They were talking about maybe he might practice next month, but you won't see him play this year.
Hold on, Dusty.
If he's even that good. But I think this might be a blessing from the Jets because if you look, it's like that adage they use on TV when someone's about to fight and the person says, you can't take me on because I have my friends behind me and there's no one there. That's the same thing with the Jets as far as
Sanchez?
The center. The quarterback position. If Sanchez goes down, like they were saying on ESPN, we can't rely on AARP to back us up.
Exactly.
That would be Brunell. I mean, he's good, but the guy's in his 40s. I mean, he's not a viable option. I mean, because look at Kerry Collins. They brought him back.
Shoulder.
And he went down.
Yeah, he went down.
I mean, our backup quarterback, he played, and he got hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
O'Connell. But, I mean, you got to have a viable person, and I think Peyton Manning would be a perfect candidate to be a backup quarterback. I think if he could play and they bring him here, I think he might be a starter.
Here's the question. Would Manning want to be a backup quarterback? If he still feels he can play, Peyton Manning is not a backup quarterback, and especially not to Mark Sanchez. See what
at $90 million, Doc?
That's what I was saying.
You,
a lot of money.
Dusty, now you're throwing the money in.
it's true. At $90 million, he's going to be a backup. But didn't I tell you 3 weeks ago that I read a soundbite that they were thinking of trading Peyton Manning, make him trade bait, because they were looking, salivating for Andrew Luck, who the Miami Dolphins are salivating for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and he's only still a college ball player. You see, so what I'm telling you is, how is he going to come in here and be a backup to Mark Sanchez when in one season he has a better record than Mark Sanchez? I mean, that doesn't make sense. And for $90 million? that's cockeyed business, man. I honestly feel that Peyton Manning should should take his money and run, because he's not going to be ready this season, obviously this season, not next season or the other season, because a neck injury, the next time is paralysis, man, and perhaps a fatal blow is going to knock his
Dusty,
neck
Dusty, back. Okay, what you're saying is get out while you're healthy and still alive.
Exactly. Get out.
Okay,
you
okay,
have
the
first, Super
Dusty,
Bowl.
Dusty, okay, Dusty, here's the other thing then. Here's the other thing, and now what Seen Week said, and now it all comes together. Come here, a backup quarterback to Sanchez. Actually, you're just a mentor, and you're not going to play for whatever kind of money they give you. That could work.
No, it's not going to work. Peyton Manning ain't going to buy that.
Hmm.
I'm telling you, he ain't going to buy that. He says, I play or don't play. I ain't going to be a backup to this freaking punk. I got too many strikes on this guy. I'm not going to be a backup. I mean,
yeah, Dusty, on the other hand, though, if something, okay, like you just said, sit him down. Peyton, listen, these guys are willing to pay you a nice amount of money. Peyton, if you go back out on the field, any kind of hit could be it. You come here, you're the backup, don't worry. We're not going to put you in the game, but we want you to mentor this kid. But we want to be able to say, because it's going to make people understand, you know, Peyton, you can't play anymore, but we will pay you to teach this kid how to play. Is that possible, Dusty? Can you buy that?
Peyton is going to tell them, screw you. I ain't going to be no teacher. I ain't going to be no backup. I ain't going to be nothing. They needed a veteran quarterback behind Sanchez. Why the hell then they pick up McNabb? Come on, man. Why?
Doc Stanley, Sports Depth on the Blake with the Rainbow Soul. Sports Depth of the show. We're live. Sea Wings is from Denver, where it's a 10-10 football game. The Jets are playing a game that they must win. Gentlemen, we're going to, in about another 10 minutes, I want Big C to hit the controls, give us a, so we minute in the 10-minute break, Sea Wings, give us our Sea Wings. Big C.
Can I ask Sea Wings a question, Doc?
Yeah, go ahead, Hoopsa. Hold on, Hoopsa. What I want to do, too, Dusty, I want you to get that boxing stuff together, because I want to pull out this thing. We're both going to be talking about Aram, and then we're going to.
I saw the email. That was funny. I saw the email. That was funny.
Yeah, it was. It was funny, but also, in fact, do you have it in front of you?
No. My
okay. No.
Took,
no problem. So
took,
I'll
but
back
I,
up.
I,
so
I,
the thing is,
I read the excerpts. Yeah.
It was a. It was kind of comical, and
oh,
it also
man.
Was.
And in Spanish too.
The WBC always sends me my notes in both. In English and in Espanol. Doc Stanley, Sports Depth on the Blake with the Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports Depth, the show. The noise here in the background is live from Denver, where the Jets are trying to win a football game that they must win, or else their football season will be just about over. It seems that the NBA season may be just about over. Monday, they buried the late, great former. Actually, you're never former. Heavyweight champion of the world, Joe Frazier. I have an article here. We're going to look at some excerpts from Bill Roden that I thought was very touching. It kind of showed a lot of the respect that and some things that misconceptions that were about.
Hey Doc.
Yeah.
And also, Larry Holmes was complaining about why they put a statue of Joe Frazier out there by the stadium.
In Philadelphia.
Stallone statue. They don't like Stallone statue out there.
Well, that was something that even the Reverend Jesse Jackson spoke about in the eulogy. He said, hey, you know, this is a real-life Rocky. And you know what? And I've said this, and it just validates the hypocrisy and the Mickey Mouse statue of the Boxing Hall of Fame to induct Stallone.
That's stupid Stallone.
And in the horde of so many other guys who
Jesus
were murdered, or better still, you know, to put him in the Hall of Fame with those guys, takes a lot of the luster, credibility, and the stature. I mean, when you can put a fake box in there, you know, as opposed to, you know, a guy like Howard Weston Jr., who was the old MSG welterweight champion, a guy who was the first and only African-American matchmaker,
promoter.
The last great matchmaker, you know, and to think about it, that they put Stallone in this year with Roberto Duran. With Roberto Duran, Stallone winning this year with first of all, Duran should have been in. But I've got to find out what the criteria is. I used to vote, but I mean, how does Stallone go in with Roberto Duran? That was insulting.
Doc, wait a minute. Am I mistaken? I thought Roberto went in 2 or 3 years ago. Am I wrong?
I think Roberto went in this year. He went in this year because I got the brochure.
Okay.
And it showed Duran there. So from what I see, Roberto went in this year.
Okay. And I stand corrected. But still, that freaking celluloid freak goes in. I mean, it dilutes the importance of what the Hall of Fame is all about.
Well, it only adds to the cry that we keep saying is that it's really not a Hall of Fame, as a Hall of Shame and a Hall of Sham. Let's talk about boxing. Let's listen to, not listen. I'm going to read the email that the WBC and I want to thank the WBC, Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul of the channel Sports Network, the show, for always sending me these emails. They're having a convention this year, and they have, Duran's going to be there, like Holmes is going to be there, just about anybody. Ray Leonard's going to be there, Tommy Hearns going to be there. But I want to take a look. It seems Bob Arum insulted the president of the WBC, the legendary Jose Suleiman, and here is
Jose Suleiman
to Bob Arum's insult. Promoter Bob Arum insulted me in the press with a swear that I wouldn't dare to type out for respect, especially to ladies. I think of Bob Arum as one of the greatest promoters that my eyes have seen, but also that he has no class, has no idea what a gentleman is, and if he would be subjected to an open-heart surgery, the doctors would find no heart. I have tried all my life to be his friend and have always supported him, especially at his rough times, but unfortunately, he does not know either the meaning of the word. He just can't help it. Arum selected Juan Manuel Marquez as he thought he was no threat to Manny Pacquiao, his multi-billion-dollar ace. I also believe, as a boxing fan, that Marquez was, at his age, not going to beat Pacquiao. But Marquez proved Arum and myself wrong, as he might have beaten him for some, but he did not lose either. I'm happy to accept it, as it was a competitive fight, good for boxing. Arum also is trying to sign a rematch with his extraordinary sensitivity and keen perception and smell of where the love of his life, the color green. He is really interested. It has to be in Mexico and nowhere else. About 40 years ago, the immortal promoter George Patanasis told me, Jose, if someday the atomic bomb destroys the world and only Robert Arum and you remain on Earth, don't you dare give him your back. Perhaps it took me this long to understand what my hero, George Patanasis, meant. And that is just a letter from Jose Suleiman, and it seems now that there's been some bad blood. Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Souls. And now, Dusty, I want to move right into that. You were talking about Marquez is filing a suit.
Oh, yeah. A soundbite came out in Channel 47 this afternoon that Marquez had gotten himself an attorney, or a high-flying attorney, to sue the Athletic Commission and the judges for robbing him of his fight. And I was thinking, well, in line of that, I mean, why didn't the Athletic Commission do what the New Jersey Commission did, suspend these dudes and send them to school? You know, but that's mere conjecture because a lot of people talked about it. But the fact of the matter is that he was so adamant that he was robbed that he said, no, I want to take legal action. I don't blame him. But, you know, first of all, Marquez, man, I thought he made good money. No, he was paid a flat $5 million. Pacquiao got $22 million plus a percentage of the pay-per-view. And Bob Arum, to save face, he says, well, we have a return by a clause for a fourth fight, and I'm guaranteeing Marquez $10 million. I mean, who is he playing with, man? Pacquiao is his cash cow. And as long as Marquez is willing to fight him, you know, And then I heard Marquez come up with the fact that, well, I got to talk with my family. I think I'm thinking of retirement. Why should he? Man, he has Amir Khan, Marcus Maidana, Timothy Bradley, Devon Alexander, even his own countryman, Eric Morales, 540 pounders that he can make some good bucks with. So why should he worry about Pacquiao anymore? I believe Marquez can beat an Amir Khan. And I don't know about Tim Bradley, but he would give him, I believe he could beat all five of them. I'll go on record as saying that. and guy could be, you know, could make his money that way instead of just dwelling on a fait accompli with Pacquiao. Now is another school of thought, folks, is the fact that I was talking to a lot of people, of course, you know, my street people, the bodega, the barbershop, and the illegal aliens. They were saying that that Pacquiao purposely wanted to look bad to entice Mayweather to think he's beatable. And I'm saying, wow, wait a minute, I never thought of that. That sounds crazy. But there is a little method in the madness. Maybe he did want to look that bad, knowing that he eventually would get the decision anyway to lure Mayweather. And Stephen A. Smith said it, Doc. He says, if you think Mayweather was not watching the fight, that's a lie. He's full of it. He's watching his fight. And if he saw what he saw that we saw, that Pacquiao looked so bad, he's already chomping at the bits.
Well, now, I've heard another story that he's going to fight in February, and I've also heard that Aram is looking at Bradley. You know, I've long said this. You know, Pacquiao is not the guy that doesn't want to fight Mayweather. It's Aram that doesn't want to make that fight. It's not Pacquiao. Lee Samuels has told me, after every fight, Pacquiao has told Bob, go make this fight. And after every fight, he doesn't make it. Well, take me back to the story of the late, great Custom Model. Floyd Patterson told Custom Model, go make the fight with Sonny Liston.
Exactly.
And Cus came back and always told Floyd a different story, because he knew that Floyd could not beat
Sonny
Liston.
Absolutely.
The bottom line is, Cus always came up with a story, and he didn't tell Floyd the truth. The fight
truth
finally happened. There's tremendous belief here that Aram is not making the Mayweather fight. He's finding other fights for Pacquiao. And it's kind of an obvious. Now, I mean to talk about a rematch with, I mean, in the fight that should be talked about right now is the fight with Mayweather. There's no question. Somebody, I forgot who talked. No, Timothy Bradley, if he doesn't fight Marquez, which he's not, Timothy Bradley is waiting in the wings. Doc Stanley,
yeah.
Sports Network on the Blake Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports Network, the show. We're staying with boxing.
But, Doc, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Are you telling me that Mr. Green, who bleeds green, Aram, and Top Rank, are going to wave away a potential
You know why, Dusty? Because this is personal, okay? And this, and see, because he did it before.
Personal for $100 million?
Yeah, but he did it before. He turned down the biggest payday for Margarito when Margarito could have fought Paul Williams. Turned it down because he had a personal beef or whatever against somebody in the Williams camp. Now, what happened here was Margarito lost the biggest payday of his career. But beyond that, had Margarito fought Paul Williams, he'd have never been caught, because it was Nobsin Richardson who caught him when he was going to fight Shane. So had he taken the fight against Paul Williams,
the rematch, and
he wins the fight, you got a trilogy. It had been a pay-per-view fight.
Exactly.
The third fight's a pay-per-view fight. It's wars have been fought over small and lesser things. It's my belief that Bob Arum does not want to make it. And you just made a point. You just made a point, Dusty, with the kind of money that did. But you see, what Arum does with
it's
these
fights. It's mind-boggling.
I mean, I think the money that Pacquiao made is money that he's made the pay-per-view from the Philippines. I'm about positive he's not getting the cut of the money here. He's getting all the money in the Philippines.
No, you know, and I have to differ with you on that. He may have the control of the Philippines, but I think Pacquiao is smart enough to say, hey, pay-per-view is going to cover every part of this nation. I ain't taking just my 10 cents from the Philippines.
That's the,
I want my 20 cents.
Run the show. Pacquiao is not his own man. Pacquiao has a belief and faith in Aram, whatever it is. He trusts Aram, and whatever Aram says, that's what goes. The guy is basically a fighter.
Do you really believe that?
No question about it, because this fight with him and Mayweather should have been made. He's, hey, Bob, you know, let's do this, Bob. Let's do this. And Bob is coming back and telling them, no. Doc Stanley, Sports Enough on the Blake Ritter Rainbow Soul Channel. Sports Enough for the show. We're talking boxing. We're talking basketball. And we're going back to Denver. C-Wings, what's happening?
Oh, nice.
With 7:48 left in the third quarter,
The Jets are up 13-10 after a 45-yard field goal by Nick Foles, which capped off an 11-play, 42-yard, 5-minute, 34-second drive by the New York Jets. At this point, the Broncos went 3-and-out deep in their end zone. They just punted it off to the Jets. The Jets are 1st and 10 within the 46-yard line.
What kind of first half stats did Sanchez have?
Sanchez, he was 17 for 14, 104 yards, compared to Tim Tebow's 7 for 5, 50 yards. He had a 92.2 passer rating versus Tim Tebow's 91.4. So it was a very pretty much even lethargic type drive between both teams in the second half. The Jets clearly came out in the second half very aggressive with the ball, which resulted in the touchdown play. Now with 7:26 left, all we need is a touchdown to basically seal the game, and the Jets can rebound and get ready for the Buffalo Bills.
The last time you said that, about 45 seconds later, bam, Denver scored a touchdown. So I think right now, Seaman, let's not say that anymore.
Seaman, let me ask you a question. Was I mistaken? I got a silent screen. I'm watching the game. Was I mistaken that Sanchez was hurt and he could hardly get up? He was taking a breather on the floor, and he got up, and the last pass was so wobbly. He wasn't accurate at all. I mean, I saw that sequence there. I said, "Oh, this guy's hurt." Somebody blasted him from the Denver. I don't know who it was, but
he was sacked.
He was sacked. That's what it was.
He was sacked from behind.
Hurt. Yeah, and when he made the second pass or whatever, he was wobbly. He was inaccurate. The receiver was somewhere. The ball was in the other. They could have been intercepted. And you know,
behind the receiver.
He threw behind the ball player. Yeah, yeah. And was that the effect of the hurt? I guess you know that's what I thought.
He looked like he was favoring his left side there.
Yeah.
He got shaking his it off. No question about it. Who just got hurt? Who's that?
The way Sanchez was walking around on the sideline, I'm actually surprised he came back.
Yeah. He was wobbly there, and he took a big hit.
I think he learned from that Baltimore game, where he clearly played in fear. Doc, I think you can back me up on that. He really played like he wanted to have someone else play center.
Well, you know, the thing, too.
If they drive now, they get another 3 points. Might that be a little clincher or something?
I don't think right now the way the Jets are playing is not a clincher until they get off the field. I mean, the way that
you go.
I mean, really. I'm going to Rooney here. And, Rooney, you said this before, but let's be honest. In the defense of Sanchez, and, you know, people forget that. They talk about the Eagles line that doesn't protect Vic. But the offensive line has really not done a good job in protecting Sanchez this year.
They haven't looked good in weeks. They haven't looked good in weeks, Doc, as far as I'm concerned. And I'm going to say it again. I go back to, who was it? I believe the wide receiver was also one of the offensive captains. Since he's called them out.
Holmes.
They haven't really looked good since
the
game or two after he called them out
publicly. Mm-hmm. Now the Jets go from 3-9 to 3-14 with a false start by Wayne
false
Hunter.
False start by
see, it's these type of
penalties.
Penalties that send the Jets in the opposite direction. But in their defense, when you're playing in a rival or an opponent's hometown, it's hard because of the noise, and the crowd is very loud here. I mean,
well, see, why don't you think they're going to a silent count, see?
Yeah, what I feel and what I see now, it's like they don't want them to go down the line. Little baby steps of little 3-yard passes, 5-yard passes. I mean, it's simply ridiculous. I mean, they need to nail this game shut, move that ball. You need a long drive like they had when they opened up against the Buffalo Bills a couple of weeks ago. It was 10 minutes.
Short drives, yeah.
Yeah, that's what Tom Brady does.
Yeah,
it's methodical.
Exactly.
Sometimes it's short, then you get a long, then it's short,
exactly.
A run, and he eats up the clock.
Absolutely.
And that's the one thing that the Jets can't do, and they've never really been able to do it. If you look at it in through their history in the last 30 years, they cannot close it. They're like the Knicks. The Knicks could lead 3.5 or 4 quarters, and it's like they say, you know what, we got it, we're going out to lunch, let's hang up the sign, we'll be back for the next game. I think you guys can back
that
me up on that. I mean, it's simply ridiculous. I mean, but here, if they end up losing this game, they lost it because the Denver Broncos have given them plenty of opportunities, and they just can't punch the ball.
Yeah.
You know,
this reminds me of, see, not to cut you off, it reminds me of an old fighter named John Tate, who I once saw win 14 rounds in 2 minutes of the 15th, only to get knocked out in the final 30 seconds. Won every round, all 14 in 2 minutes of the 15th and final, got knocked out with 30 seconds left. Couldn't close the show.
Yeah, Weaver did that.
Yeah, absolutely. Mike Hercules Weaver knocked him out with about 30 seconds to go after winning 14 and 3/4 rounds. Couldn't close the show.
Panel, I think I'll have your total agreement on this. It seems like when the Jets are the underdog, they tend to win. When they're expected to win, they can't handle it, and they end up losing.
Exactly. All this morning, you said it on the head, all this morning, all the talk shows, Mike and Mike Francesa, Stephen A. Smith, Kiss Bates, everybody was saying, man, and the newspapers carried it yesterday. They're going to make lunch meat out of Tebow, and they're going to run over Tebow. And look what they're doing. They're telling Tebow, no, we want you to win, Tebow. We feel sorry for you. So win it. But, I mean, that's exactly the way they play. I don't want to win the game.
They're a perfect example of a team that plays to the level of their competition, no doubt.
Last week they didn't play to the level of New England Patriots, did they?
Well, actually, they played less to the level. That's what I'm trying to say. You figure this would be their time to make a statement, Doc? You figure that would be their time to make a statement? Like you said, they had lost a few games in a row, New England. They came in reeling, staggering, like a fighter who had taken too many shots to the head. Just waiting for that one good right hand to put him away, and never came.
They gave him life. They gave him a real adrenaline rush for him to win. It's ridiculous, you know. But I said it in the beginning of our show 3 or 4 months ago. Jets and Giants ain't going nowhere.
Well, you know, you may be wrong on both accounts, and you may be really wrong.
I hope that I'm wrong, but I am never wrong, Doc.
Oh yeah, you just slightly off center.
I still hit the bullseye.
Yeah, but it's your only eye, your own eye. That's why you got one left. Dusty, you know, and you talked about something too. You know, with Michael Vick hurt.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
This was a big game. You know, the Giants, they won the big game in New England, lost the Frisco game. But this game Sunday against the Eagles, the underachieved Eagles, is the same kind of game tonight for the Jets. This is a game that they must win, they have to win, that keeps the season going.
Look at Tebow. He just ran. He ran himself for a first down. Tebow himself through all the defense. Oh, my God.
And they could have just had the previous play. They could have had
a
safety. Yeah, I mean, it's the tackling too. It's
exactly.
Like very to.
Well, you know what, C-Wings and Rooney. That's something too that the Jets have been cited for all year. That they're not the defensive team sound wise fundamentally that they have been in the past couple of years, Rooney.
No, they really haven't. They seem like they've had a really hard time getting on the field in some instances, a very hard time for tackling, missed tackles, getting pushed around at the line of scrimmage. No, they don't look the same at all, Doc. Not at all.
Hey, see,
I mean,
you still
there? There have been times, Doc, when I tried to figure out who's played lousier, the offensive line or the defensive line.
Hey, you still there on the line?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, and what do you think about Tebow, all his hype, really? Your opinion, honestly.
He's looking against the Jets. He's not looking too bad, but overall, he's mediocre.
Yeah, but what happened to him? Here's a guy, C. Wings, who won the Heisman Trophy. A guy who was in the running of becoming the second man ever to win it back to. What happened to him, C. Wings?
Who, Tim Tebow?
Yeah.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. Now, I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
And it's halfway through the show here. We're doing a special edition for you live from Denver, where the Jets are playing the Denver Broncos on a must-win. And we got the crew here. As you know, there'll be no Sports in Depth this Sunday. We're doing a special, a Brazilian special. I gave you some hype on that down the line. But, hey, it's prayer time. Dear Lord, thank you for another day. Thank you for little things we're so large you take for granted. Thank you for blessings unseen, undeserved, those coming and those that have been here. More importantly, that your way be our way. Thank you for your guidance in Jesus. And though you may not be everybody's God, you're God all by yourself. In Jesus' name, dear Lord. Amen. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soldier Channel, Sports and Death is the show. And we are kind of sweating through another hopeful Jet win. And, you know, we talked a little boxing. And, as you know, this past Monday, they laid to rest the great Smoking Joe Frazier. Frazier only lost four fights, and he only lost to two guys. And he lost the same two guys twice. Ali in 1974, and then again at the Thrill in Manila in 75, and to George Foreman. And, you know, he had lost to Foreman in 73, and then he lost to Foreman again. That was a fight I happened to see live at the Nassau Coliseum. And Monday, the great sports writer and columnist Bill Verdon of the New York Times, one of only 22 African-American columnists in the country, up from 11 some decades ago. And let's go. At his essence, Smoking Joe was more than just a symbol. And I'm going to read some excerpts from there. I really like. And one was that it talked about that what people didn't understand. Frazier boycotted the 1967 heavyweight elimination tournament to find a successor to Ali. And Frazier petitioned President Nixon to have Ali's right to box reinstated. The debate over Ali Frazier, who was more American, who had black interests more at heart, is part of a tradition in which African-Americans who achieve prominence become polarizing symbols of vexing questions. What does it mean to be an American? What does it mean to be an African-American in the United States? Did Frazier ever truly forgive Ali? Did he ever hate Ali in the first place? Only Frazier knew. Although everyone who spent time around him has a different view. And at the very least, it seems obvious that each man had a respect for the other. I think the idea of the rivalry provided some really good copy for so long, Todd said, but this idea that Frazier never forgave him is not like that. It's more complicated than that. Joe was affected by it. He was affected by the way he was seen, by the way he was seen, by the way he was perceived. It affected the way he was remembered and known. Ultimately, he wasn't clinging to it. He had a very full life, even in his last few years when his life might have been more difficult. He was just the same. I think because of how he'd grown up, he responded to things in a certain way, with a resilience and a good humor. He wasn't a bitter man. In his book, The Greatest, My Own Story, written by Richard Durham, Ali recalled the bedlam in the ring after his first loss to Frazier in 1971 when he felt a tug on his robe. Joe had come over to my corner, he said. You put up a great fight, he said. His face was so swollen I could hardly see his eyes, but I knew he was looking at me. You the champion, I say. He seems to like that. It's the first time as a pro that I have acknowledged another man over me. As part of the pre-fight hype, Ali had promised to crawl across the ring if he lost to Frazier. Joe seems to read my mind, Ali says in the book. Blood is seeping from cuts in his lips. We don't do no crawling, he said. You fought one hell of a fight. And, wow, you know, I was, I just can't tell you how Joe was out. It's funny, I was playing some tapes, and we're going
on
to
the show too. Wow.
play an interview. Well, you know, we did the show with Joe. It was, it was excuse me, gentlemen, Dr. Sandy Sports Death on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Souls Channel Sports Death Show. It was really a slap in the face that there was nobody to salute the 40th anniversary of the greatest boxing match, the greatest sporting event on the history of the planet. I mean, over 300 million people saw this fight. And everybody, within 2 months up to that fight, if you turned to a stranger in the street and said, who do you like in the fight? They answered. Nobody ever said, what fight? Who's fighting? Everybody knew Ali Frazier. $2.5 million was an astronomical amount of money for gentlemen to get in those days. Last Monday, I grabbed some old VHS tapes, and I cut them on. Working on Boxing, as you know, was the number one boxing show in the history of television in this city. The founder, the editor, the producer, the legendary Marion Boykin, and Marion B. Boykin, and the Beast Adams for Black, Bodacious, Brilliant, and a Brother. Well, it made me part of the show, and as I was playing the VHS tapes, the first interview that popped up was the one we did with the legendary and the smoking Joe Frazier. Gentlemen, sit back and listen to Joe Frazier, Doc Stanley, Marion Boykin on Boykin on Boxing, the late great. And you know what? Your question is going to be answered, Dusty. How he got the name Smoking.
Condon. Yeah, Yank, John, they were great guys. You know what I mean? Like, any very few guys you could...
You know, we want that question answered for you, don't we? You want that question about Smoking Joe Frazier. Okay, here we go. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake with the Network Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports and Depth of the show, the late, great Joe Frazier, talking to Marion Boykin and Doc Stanley on Boykin on Boxing.
Take that damn hair off your lips.
Oh, stop it, Joe.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Let me get my hat up for you and see my damn boat.
All right. Madison Square Garden, Boykin on Boxing, Marion Boykin, our award winner. And we've got the former heavyweight champion of the world, the incomparable Smoking Joe Frazier. Joe, how do you get the nickname Smoking? Who gave that to you?
My first manager was Yank Durham. I had quite a few of them guys, but Yank was the man, and he told me, damn, say, I want you to go out there tonight and make smoke come from them gloves.
God, the rest is history.
Yank was a guy like, it didn't matter whether I like it. If he didn't like you, you're dead.
Speaking of Yank, too, because I remember you also had a special relationship with the late John Condon.
Yeah, Yank, John, and they were great guys. You know what I mean? Like, ain't very few guys you can put your dependent in. You know, these guys were true men. You know what I mean? Their words were bond.
Just great guys.
You know what I mean? Like, you say one thing, you don't need no pencil, no paper. You know what I mean? Just get the job done.
Joe, good question. One of the things I wanted to always ask is, what do you think? I've been hearing what you think about the crop that's there now in the heavyweight division, as compared to when you guys were there, like you and Ali and Norton and these guys.
No, these guys are there. These guys are there, but let's put it this way. They got too many people in the boxing game calling shots. I don't know what shots is all about.
Uh-huh.
They don't take a boxer and put on the baseball team. They don't take a track star and put on a hockey team.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I'm saying? These people, all these people around the ringside, you ask them to fight Dan.
Uh-huh.
All they do is make it a bunch of money and they ain't doing nothing about it.
Well,
why can't they put the guys that put something in the game, give them something back out of the game?
Uh-huh. Now, I got a quick question, Joe. What is it that has kept guys like some of the guys who haven't done as well as guys like you and Muhammad Ali and guys like that? What are you guys doing for guys like that? I mean, is anything in the works for old fighters that didn't make it as far as Joe Frazier made it?
Well, me, I'm always there. I got a gymnasium in Philadelphia. And you could go from the Pip the Pooh. Everybody have come right through that gymnasium, and I'm still there. You know what I mean? Hi, Lynn, how you been, baby?
Does anybody out there right now impress you? I mean, to you, Joe.
I mean, what to make these guys much more better in the boxing world, they don't take me and put on the Yankee team. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We should do something for the boxers that put something in the game. Let these guys sit around the ring. Mm-hmm. Let these guys call the shots.
Boxers knows you guys.
Boxers that know boxing.
Yeah,
that's what it's all about.
There you go.
Why should we have to come back and try to fight again?
Uh-huh.
It's about that. Let us sit around and be the father.
Who is the absolute best that you've ever seen?
We can go champions down to champions.
No, we only pick one.
Wait a minute now. No, it can't be one.
Can't pick one?
It can't be no one.
Hey, listen, man, Marvin's is telling
at
me.
At the time. Okay. No, at the time, it can't be no one guy.
Okay.
When you got the WBC, World Boxing Council. So when is your time come, you be the champion. You're a great champion.
Uh-huh.
But we never the greatest. Only one man the greatest. Law.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Nobody takes that place.
Joe Frazier, ladies and gentlemen. Joe Frazier. And he can talk to us all day, but he got to get out of here. Let him get out of here.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and he'll come with us again, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Why not? Get the love right, okay?
Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soldier Channel, Sports and Depth of the show. That was back in 1992-93 at Madison Square Garden. He will never be forgotten. Always be remembered. Always love. And always the champ. Smoking Joe Frazier, and on the greatest boxing show in the history of television, cable or non-cable, working on boxing, and it was just something I wanted to share with the panel and the world. Over 4,000 people at the funeral on Monday. Ali was there, of course. Larry Holmes was there. Bernard Hopkins was there. I turned around and I look at this situation, and you know, that corner that he had back in 1975 in the Philippines, Eddie Futch was in that corner, Georgie Benton was in that corner, and Mr. Lee, we just lost Butch Lee, who was, Butch Lee, God, dog, tag, you know, Butch Lewis was part of that contingency, and I just thought, Mr. Futch passed first, Georgie Benton, not so long ago, and Butch Lewis, and now Joe Frazier from that entire corner. And there's a picture I have up on the wall, and get a chance to talk about Doc Stanley Sports. Is Big C, let's give us that line for the fans out there when they want to, as everybody know, I'm going to be eventually moving to Brazil and have
the
Sports Hall of Fame.
Hey, Doc, you just missed the Tim Tebow show.
He ran
for a touchdown.
Dusty, right now, when I'm talking about Joe Frazier, Tim Tebow don't count. Baby.
Hey.
I'm talking about legends and heroes.
I know what you're talking about, and I revere the man. I'm just letting you up on goodbye, Jets.
And you know what, Dusty? I didn't want to know that either, too. The thing with Joe is, I think I've told you this story a million times, the first piece of memorabilia that I ever put into my Hall of Fame, and my first Leroy Neiman reprint is a reprint that Leroy did, and I got it autographed by Joe Frazier, Muhammad Ali, John Condon, who was the PR man at the time, the matchmaker, legendary matchmaker Teddy Brenner, who Harold Weston said was the greatest matchmaker of all time, and Arthur McCanty. Now, Teddy Brenner has passed, John Condon has passed, Arthur McCanty has passed, and Joe Frazier has passed. Ali is the last survivor of the people who were on that particular picture. And like I say, you know, Joe Frazier only lost four fights, only lost to two fighters. He was the first African-American Olympic heavyweight champion. And then if you look back at the situation, it was amazing because I think I've told you the story that Joe actually wasn't picked to be on the Olympic team. He only went to the Olympic team for the simple fact to the guy, Buster Mathis, was seen as a dominant heavyweight, as a guy who was going to dominate the Olympics and be the champion, but he had a history. And you were there, Dusty, and so were you, Rooney, and Sea Wings, when Joe said he had a ability to get injured. And it was Joe was brought along as insurance policy, and the rest is history. He won the gold medal, first man to beat Muhammad Ali, and became, without question, one of the top five heavyweights of all time. Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the channel Sports Network, the show, and just played some excerpts from an interview I did with the legendary Marion Boykin and the legendary Joe Frazier. Okay, back to Denver and reality, and see, Wings, what's happening?
30 seconds left. Just got hit. He just got hit. I mean, he got destroyed. He's hurt too. Got sacked. Basically, the game is over.
And what's the
game
right
is over. It's 17-13. Tim Tebow ran basically untouched for a
touchdown.
Yeah, for a touchdown. I mean, he just got drilled. He just got drilled by Miller from the Denver Broncos.
So you're telling me
like
right
a helmet now to helmet.
That this game that the Jets had to win, this game that they were playing a so supposedly inferior team, this game that they were winning is like this game Sunday. The New York Jets are going to lose this football game. And C-Wings, for all intents and purposes, is the season over?
They're just about there. I mean, you still have Buffalo and Miami. They still have a chance if they win. If they can finish 10-6,
yeah,
they might have a chance. But
wild card, maybe
the way things are looking, yeah, maybe wild card. The way it's looking now.
You added another wild.
Well, basically, their season is over, Doc. Let me say this: they're showing no fire. No
exactly.
Play, no hustle, no.
Rooney, how much of this, and everybody else step back, how much of this do we have to put on? What has happened where Rex Ryan, who took this team to two back-to-back championship games, can't get this team up to beat the Denver Broncos? What? How much of this is Rex Ryan, and what has happened, Rooney?
Well, Doc, don't forget, you know, they made changes during the offseason. The offensive line hasn't looked the same. The running game hasn't looked the same. The defense hasn't. I mean, they just haven't looked like the same team. I think that some of the changes they made during the offseason, combined with the fact that the players that they do have, a lot of them haven't looked quite the same. I mean, the offensive line has looked pitiful for weeks now, Doc. I admit Sanchez doesn't show any elusive ability too much, if you will. But in fairness, I have to say the offensive line hasn't helped them at all. I mean, they have really, really looked lousy. You put that in the fact that they really haven't had any great defense either, no ability to get off the field. They give up yards and bunches. They really haven't looked. Rex has to take the ball, being the main man, but Doc, they just haven't looked like the same team personnel-wise.
Doc Stanley, Sports is up on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the channel, Sports is up for the show. Last week this time, we knew this game was coming up. We were excited about the New England game, figuring the Jets would win that game, take the one-game lead, go to Denver, pad the lead, come home for the 10-day break, and have a happy Thanksgiving. And now, it seems that right now the Jets have turned into turkeys, and maybe simply just turkey wings as victory
good analogy.
Has flown away from them. And, you know, Cedric, your assessment, I mean, you are our football guru. You are the genius of this sport, and there's no question about that. You know, what in the words of Dusty, because I wouldn't use a word like this, but what in the hell has happened?
Game is over. Game is over. They got rid of a lot of key players. I think the Brad Sniff, he helped out a lot with the Wildcat. Jericho Kotchi was good for the middle of the field.
Right.
And I think they should have kept the same team they had last year.
Yeah.
This year.
You know,
one more year.
You
say
that, Steve. I remember when we were in Pittsburgh. And the gentleman that went back to Miami now that we had last year from Miami, the guy that we got from Miami Sea Wings who went back to Miami.
Jason Taylor.
And I remember he sat there with tears in his eyes, and he talked about with such a good bunch of guys he's with. And he said something that was what you're dovetailing, you're validating, and Rooney has, that, you know, when you have a football team, it's hard to get that core back. And you're just saying that that has been a key factor. And how much do we blame that on the core, and how much do we blame that on the coaching staff? I mean, I remember 2 weeks ago when the Giants blew the Seattle game, and Coughlin stood up and said, you know, when you lose, you blame the coach. And you do. The blame goes to the coach. How much blame do we put on Rex Ryan, and what are his shortcomings as the Jets have now, after losing 3 games in a row and winning 3 games in a row, are now on route to maybe losing another 3 games in a row? Where has he come up short? See, Wayne?
For one, he's taken the focus off by, you know, saying we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And now the players are following in his footsteps.
Yeah.
Arenas mm-hmm. are saying that he, you know, they were going to be bored. Stop with the canter and banter and all
exactly.
this smack talk.
There you
Save
go.
It for wrestling. Save it, Rooney. You can back me up on that. That's what the smack talk
That's
goes.
True. Good job. Like,
very
yeah.
good, Z-Wing.
And wrestling, but football, you got to go out there and fight. Enough of the talk.
Exactly.
But this might be the coffin, the nail on the coffin.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
You came here, and he's on a roll winning as a rookie quarterback, and you, as the Jets, a seasoned team, has been on a downslide. So
Absolutely.
How can you come in here with that attitude that he's just a mediocre quarterback, which I still think he is, but the Jets are not playing up to their potential. That's why they're losing. They're not letting Sanchez throw the ball. I kind of see it because I think he would throw a lot of interceptions. If you look at Vinny Testaverde, he threw a lot, but he had vertigo. I don't know what the problem is here with Sanchez. To you know, make these plays. I mean, he's throwing behind the intended targets, over the intended targets, directly to the other team. I have no answer to it.
They really look like a rudderless. They look like a rudderless ship is what they kind of look like. No direction, no leader, no guy to bark at guys and say, "Hey, look, you want to play football or do you want to go home?"
Hold on, fellas. What you guys are telling me, this is what I'm hearing, and, you know, and I'm not like Dusty, I'm not that old, so my ears are still working. What you guys are telling me, okay,
yeah.
I want you to go with this first, Rooney, what you're telling me, that Rex Ryan is not that good of a coach?
I'm just saying, Doc, that whatever their physical shortcomings, Rex does not seem to have lit a fire under these guys this year. Regardless of the change in personnel, the people that he has to play with, that he has to work with, he's not lighting a fire under them, Doc. They come out looking dull and unproductive and uncaring every single week. Last week they had that one drive, okay, the guy blows the chip shot, a field goal, the glorified extra point, and after that, the team lays down on them and rolls over. I mean, would the real Jets please stand up? If they were a boxer, they'd be Jab Zuda.
Rooney, back up. You hit a point that it seemed to me, and I remember talking in the locker room with a couple of the New England players, and it seemed to me that when they didn't get the 7 points, okay, that's one thing. But when he missed that tip field goal, it was said that for all intents and purposes, Rooney, the football game was over right then and there psychologically.
It was. You could feel the air go out of the entire team as well as the fans in the stadium. You could just see all the air out as if somebody was taking the tire out of your car and just see the air go. Just gone.
Yeah. And absolutely, Doc, I might add that what I've been saying all along is the blunderbuss Rex Ryan talking all this, we're going to win the Super Bowl. That's annoying and insulting and giving incentive to the other teams. I said, what do you mean? What about me? What about us?
I know what. You're supposed to feel he's going to the Super Bowl.
Huh?
And the last 2 years, he was one game away. He was
because
one game away.
One game away does not mean going to the Super Bowl.
But he got there. And you know what?
For all intents and purposes, if
we had a different quarterback, he might have got there. I still don't understand
it's management
what this thing is with Mark Sanchez. I'm befuddled about this thing. I mean, hold on. Steve Wings, was he the starting quarterback in college on his team?
He's a hot shot in college.
Steve Wings? Okay. I think Steve Wings is going to try to go down to the locker room to get some post-game interviews.
He was a hot shot in USC. I think it's USC. But the fact of the matter is that he has not lived up because of the pressure from management. I mean, you don't go around knocking everybody in the league and we're going to win the Super Bowl. And then with a rookie?
Everybody's trying to get to the Super Bowl.
That goes up to O'Leary's bar and stands there and talks trash and has no substance. That's what he is.
He puts a lot of pressure on the team himself. I don't buy that, Dusty. This is why
there was so much dissension among the team players themselves. Mm-hmm. You don't see that in the other teams, man.
We can't say with the other teams how they react because we're here in New York, but I don't buy extra added pressure. And for all intents and purposes, it worked. I mean, they got to within minutes of the Super Bowl the last 2 years. Nobody can say they've been to back-to-back title games.
That is not being there, and that's not winning.
I'm not talking about being there, but you have to be where they were to get there, and they're there. They were there. I mean, you know, it's like Charlie Burley. Charlie Burley never got a title shot, but there were guys who got a title shot. They got the title fight. So
I go to the Golden Gloves and I get to the semifinals 5 years in a row. I never make it to the finals. That's nothing. That's nothing. You got to win.
You bring up a point. If you score 47 points in a basketball game and your team loses, that's still 47 points, Dusty.
It's still no good. You didn't win.
No, I understand that. And I'm trying to win. But don't tell me that, you know, I didn't do something to merit. I scored 47 points.
But
quick question for you, Doc and Dusty. That Buffalo Bills team that went to 4 Super Bowls, lost all of them. Are they a great team?
They
were a great team beaten by greater teams.
No, they were beaten by the better team on the right day.
You
look at that Buffalo team. They've got Kelly.
Bruce Smith.
They got Bruce Smith, the running back whose name escapes me, and they got four guys in the Hall of Fame.
Exactly.
So if you're a Hall of Famer, you can kind of play the damn game. I'm sorry, Dusty. I sounded like you did. I didn't mean to see you. Doc Stanley, Sports Network, on the Blake with the Rainbow Soul, the channel Sports Network, the show. You know, fans, what we've done here for you again. If, for all intents and purposes, ladies and gentlemen, for all intents and purposes, the New York Jets football season is over.
Absolutely.
I mean, the great line by Sea Wings, they're shooting for a wild card. I mean, last week this time, they were tied for first place. They had the New England Patriots coming into their ballpark, and then for dessert, they were going to Denver and play Tebow and the Denver Broncos, and they've lost to the best teams, and they've lost to the worst of teams. And right now, if you're a season ticket holder, you know, it's time to tell Santa Claus, maybe I don't need these tickets next year. Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake Ritter Network, Rainbow Soul, the channel Sports Network, the show. We also want you to remember Joe Frazier, the funeral. We talked
also
about the Jets. And, Dusty,
yes,
we want to get a feeling here from you. Sea Wings is trying to get in the locker room, get some post-game interviews.
Right.
There's talk. I need your interview to get in and out. Hoops, are you still with us? Okay. Dusty, is your feeling.
Yeah.
And put the Ouija board down, all that stuff, you know what I mean?
Go ahead.
Is
I love you, brother. Go ahead.
Is Pujols going to leave St. Louis? Yes or no?
I don't know.
Okay,
I can't
give you the definitive answer. If he does, is he going to the Marlins?
Well, that seems to be the magnet team.
Why the Marlins?
Because they're trying. See, you forget, Miami Marlins or Florida Marlins, this is a Latino-based area.
Okay.
But they're trying to drag all the Latinos in.
Why not the Yankees?
Huh?
Why not
the Yankees? Ain't going to buy them because they got Texera on first base.
Okay.
It's impossible to replace a first baseman with an already $160 million first baseman.
Well, yeah, but listen. Could you protect the third base?
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that.
really, Dusty, no, being serious. Couldn't you put Tex or couldn't you put A-Rod in left field?
A-Rod cannot play left field any more than Tex could play third base. What they were saying during the season because of A-Rod's injuries, they should have sat him down and used Eric Chavez, who was a better ball player, a better third baseman than A-Rod.
Yeah. In other words, okay, Dusty, what's the possibility of next year of A-Rod being the DH most of the time and Chavez third base?
It's possible. But, man, when you pay a man $27.5 million a year to be a DH, it ain't going to happen. That's one of the reasons why Girardi kept him on as cleanup man and kept him in the playoffs. And what the heck did he do in the playoffs? Nothing. He struck out on ball four with bases loaded. Boom. You can't sit that man. And he should have had the...
Dusty, also you're also an umpire, too, I see. Ball four, the bases. I mean, are you sure... Are you sure that ball wasn't on the corner? It was a close pitch.
Man, that ball was taller than me and outside the plate, man. Come on. And first of all, this is what this man, he had to play him. He didn't have to play him. But the fact of the matter is you got a $27.5 million a year ball player sitting on a bench when they could have put out the better player who wasn't injured, which
okay,
is Chavez.
Okay, here's the question. So then again, you're telling me there's pressure from upstairs all the time.
That is what?
There's pressure from upstairs all the time.
Absolutely.
In other words, Dusty, it's the Steinbrenner way.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
That's enough, Dusty.
We've agreed too much the last couple weeks. Cut it out. That's enough. Stop.
Something is wrong. Let's you and I go to Cigali Park, man. Hey, listen,
be a protester. Let them lock you up for a couple of days.
Oh, man.
Dusty, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio, Rainbow Soul, the channel. Sports and Depth of the show. You've heard it live here. Sea Wings out in Denver. We're hoping maybe before we go off the air to get a couple of interviews. But for all intents and purposes, you were here. You heard it live when the New York Jets football season ended. And it don't look good for them to come back. They've lost. They've got a Buffalo Bills team coming in here. They've lost to New England.
Sanchez is hurt, Doc. He's been wobbling.
Yeah, but you see, and this is the thing we talked about, Dusty. And, again, I don't want to talk about this long because we agreed on this and people get the wrong impression that we like each other. But Rooney, Stephen A. talked about this last night,
He is
Rooney,
funny, man.
Rooney, there's no insurance for this kid. There's no what are they waiting for now? What are they going to get? Listen, I'm not going to sign for that kind of money. I'm not going to come back and play again. What are they going to do, Rooney?
Hey, Doc, that's...
Rooney, what are they going to do?
Hey, Doc, I'm really not sure. And this one, even I'm befuddled because I just don't know where they're going to turn to now. Like you said, there's basically no insurance.
But Rooney, if we can see this every week, especially Dusty with those bifocals on, if they can see this every week, why couldn't they see? I mean, what is... Then again, Dusty, it's back to you. It's back to you, Dusty.
I
can't keep agreeing with you like this. But it's back to you.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's upstairs. Upstairs must say this guy has to play. But they've done nothing to back him up.
Exactly. You're right. You know, it's management, the policymakers, they're going to put, you know, it's like, Jesus Christ, it's like some politician who sees the fire department and he's going to tell the firefighters how to fight a Class A fire. And these guys are never put out in a freaking football uniform, the big wigs upstairs, and they're going to say, hey, well, this is how we're going to play. According to the playbook, this is how we design it, and that's what it's going to be. Nonsense. You know, and this kid has no backup. He has nobody to protect him. His offensive line is like the his pocket is like Swiss cheese, and his receivers got butter in their hands and they can't catch anything. They can't run through. And then of course you got to compensate. You got to say, well, these guys are injured. Thompson is hurt. Green just got hurt. I mean, and then Sanchez got smashed 3 or 4 times already. What did he got? A ramshackle.
So really, Doc, like Dusty said, if you don't mind me and interrupting, the kid hasn't been great, but in fairness to him, he has nothing to work with. Like Dusty said, he has no running game to speak of. The line looks like Swiss cheese.
Yeah, super Swiss.
When he does get a decent pass off, they're dropping balls on him. Not only
right.
is the kid kind of underperforming, but he's getting no help to move.
Yeah, and he you know, and he's panicking. You're right, Doc. I think you said it. He's panicking. You know, I mean, he has 450-pound elephants coming at him, man. You know, and he's been smashed and smashed. And you know that ground is no mattress, man. I mean, this guy.
And Doc, he really got beat up in this game, Dusty. Dusty, Doc, Steven. I mean, he really got beat up, and they had him as it in this game. Kid sore. What can I say?
Yeah, he's sore.
Now, you know, the thing here is, you know, the rest of the league has to play bad for the Jets to get back in.
I mean,
you know, and you know what? And let me tell you something. They have a chance because New England's defense is just horrible. It's just horrible.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, but the point is, it was bad enough to lose to New England Sunday. So now you're a game behind. Now you're 2 games behind.
Absolutely.
And then
who's to say,
and Dusty, don't say you agree because then I'll have to hang up. But who's to say if they can't beat Denver? If they can't beat Denver, how are they going to beat Buffalo?
Well, that's the point. They are in disarray, and they're shell shocked. And you got a quarterback who's becoming punch shy, and he's not able to you know, if Mark Sanchez, Doc, just picture this: if Mark Sanchez had the steel curtain protection. Most of the time, not all of the time, but most of the time that Tom Brady had, maybe his mind would be sharper, accurate, and then he could see who he has to throw to.
Mm.
You know, but
okay,
when you have a Swiss cheese line,
Dusty, that's enough.
Brown,
I agree. That's stop. Because the world is listening. Stop. The world is listening. Stop. Dusty, real quickly, Joe Frazier,
yeah.
Mike Tyson, who wins that fight?
Joe Frazier.
Rooney? Joe Frazier, Mike Tyson?
Wow.
Oh, hey, I forgot. That's his buddy, Frazier Tyson.
Nothing to do with that personal friendships aside.
Okay,
what a terrific war that would have been, Doc. Hey, I got his pick. I'm a great rumble for as long as it lasts.
Here's a card that my man had from round one. Uh-oh, it's a 2-minute warning. Uh-oh.
Yep, 2-minute
warning.
It's about
time to go. Gentlemen. It is always a pleasure. That great line that Walt Whitman said, I no doubt deserve my enemies, but I doubt if I deserve my friends. Doc Stanley, Sports Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports Depth for the show in the background. Oh, man, one of my favorite artists got a chance to meet him, open for him. Stanley turned to what the world needs now is love, sweet love. And what we need is you to keep listening, and we love to have you listening. And we want to thank you once again and leave you with 3 thoughts. Life's most persistent, the most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Service to others is meant to pay for your space on earth. Joe Frazier's counterpart, Muhammad Ali. And I simply say that great line that Larry Hardy loves, live your life today as you have to stand before God tomorrow. Doc Stanley and the panel, we simply say goodnight, trust in God. Larry Hardy, you can come on and go now. We're ready to leave.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
Well, gentlemen, let's say everybody good night. And
buenas noches. And it was a good talk.
That's the when we say good night.
As always, Doc, Dust, what's in definition? Wish you a hearty good night.
There you go.
And for the Jets, you know, maybe 2 weeks from now will be different. Special show this Sunday, everybody. We're doing a special feature on Brazil. The panel won't be there, but they'll be back the following Sunday. And we all say good night, happy holidays, trust in God. Take care, gang.
Thank you. God bless everybody. Pee-wee, he's still in Denver? Oh, okay, I guess so. He's probably interviewing 10 people, so that's what it is. Okay, God bless.
God bless, good night.